Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, December 29th, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We are in the middle of verse 16. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God has given us, the royal family in the church age, a very unique life. It's called the spiritual life. He first gave that spiritual life to His eternal Son, Jesus Christ, in His hypostatic union. That spiritual life enabled the Lord Jesus Christ in His true humanity to glorify God to the maximum during the direct attack of Satan on Him. At the incarnation and virgin birth, Satan's attack shifted to Jesus Christ himself. And he did everything possible to get the Lord Jesus Christ to sin so that he might win the angelic conflict. And the Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity lived that unique spiritual life, and he was preparing it for us and passed it on to each one of us, because now, following the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, the attack of Satan, the ruler of this world temporarily, has shifted to the body of Christ. And in the church age, every single believer from Pentecost to the rapture at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, is baptized into union with Christ. We are in union with Jesus Christ, in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He is our head, we are his body. And while the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, we are here on earth. And Satan's attack now is on every single believer, every single member of the royal family of God. And therefore, we need this spiritual life. And if we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, well, we will be victorious in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And as you live this spiritual life by the spiritual skills, there is an ultimate objective. And that ultimate objective is for you to have virtue love brought to completion in your hearts. John first brought this out in chapter 2, verse 5, when he said, "If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word," that is the mandates of God's word, "then the love of God," virtue love, "has truly been brought to completion in his heart. And by this we know, we realize, appreciate, and understand that we are abiding in him." That is, we are living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skill. Now in 1 John 3, starting at verse 10, the first 10b, through the rest of chapter 3, all of chapter 4 and chapter 5, we have the greatest dissertation of virtue love found anywhere in the God-breathed scriptures. Virtue love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Virtue love made up of three parts: personal love for God the Father, and that is the great motivational virtue. That is developed first. Personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue that motivates the second category, impersonal love for all. You will never have impersonal love for all until you first of all have personal love for God the Father. And then the third part of virtue love is occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin with that is plus H, self-contained happiness, or sharing the happiness of God. Now in 1 John 3, verse 16, and we have only exegeted half of this verse, we have been given the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all. And that greatest illustration of impersonal love for all is the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross for the whole world, for the entire humanity, all of the human race. So far, the corrected translation says, "By this we have come to know virtue love," specifically impersonal love for all, "that he," the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, "laid down his life for us as a substitute for the entire human race." This is the greatest illustration of impersonal love, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Unlimited atonement. Now, that's as far as we went in our exegesis, and so far we have 5 points in summary. Point one was the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all is the Lord Jesus Christ's salvation work on the cross, solving mankind's problem of sin. Two, the entire Godhead manifests impersonal love to the entire human race. Impersonal love for all is an unconditional love. Impersonal love is based on God's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. It's based on his infinite virtue, infinite honor, infinite integrity. And that's how he has impersonal love for the entire human race. So every member of the Godhead manifests impersonal love for the entire human race. God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, He didn't design it just for a few who would believe in Christ. He designed it for the entire human race. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Unlimited atonement. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. When God the Father poured out the sins on Jesus Christ, He didn't just pour out the sins of those who were going to believe in Him. He poured out the sins of the entire world. So God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, and in that plan, He demonstrated and manifested impersonal love for the entire human race. Then God the Son, from His own free will, willingly went to the cross. He executed Operation Grace. He willingly received the sins of the entire world and the judgment for those sins. Unlimited atonement. And that, the Lord Jesus Christ illustrates impersonal love for all. And God the Holy Spirit manifests impersonal love for all, for He reveals Operation Grace, the cross, through common grace, His common grace ministry, the convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit, to anyone in the entire world. When the gospel's given, the Holy Spirit makes it clear so he understands the issue of eternal salvation. And then point three, God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind in designing Operation Grace, the cross, emphasizes the virtue, the honor, the integrity of God the Father. It emphasizes His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Point four, God the Father's impersonal love for the entire human race, mankind in the status of spiritual death and total depravity, is demonstrated in sending His eternal Son into the world to take on true humanity, to go to a cross, and to be imputed with the sins of the entire world and pay the penalty for those sins. John 3:16, God loved the world so much. That's impersonal love for all. God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. That is God the Father's impersonal love for the entire human race. Romans 5:8. But God the Father, demonstrates His own virtue love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, we were at our worst. Christ died for us. God the Father's impersonal love for all in designing Operation Grace, the cross. And then 1 John 4:10. This is virtue love, not that we love God, but that He loved us with virtue love and sent His Son as the propitiation for our sins. God's impersonal love for the entire human race. Point five, the motivation of God the Son to love the human race with impersonal love and go to the cross was the Lord Jesus Christ's personal love for the Father and resultant obedience to His incarnation plan. Now that's as far as we went in our summary, those first five points. So we start tonight, point six. Point six is a principle. Personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all. Personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all. Personal love for God the Father was the motivational virtue that motivated the Lord Jesus Christ to have impersonal love for all mankind and to go to the cross and to receive the imputation of the sins of the whole world and to solve it through unlimited atonement, solve mankind's problem of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly came into the world to solve mankind's problem of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ had impersonal love for all mankind. Point 7. It was not until Jesus Christ arrived at the cross and was judged as a substitute for the world's sins that we see the tremendous dynamics of impersonal love for all. It was not until Jesus Christ arrived at the cross and was judged as a substitute for the entire world's sins that we see the tremendous dynamics of his impersonal love for all mankind. Eight. He was judged for the sins of the entire human race. Unlimited atonement for an entire human race that was totally unworthy. An entire human race in spiritual death. An entire human race in total depravity. Ungodly. Sinners. Enemies of God. Personal love for God the Father motivates impersonal love for all. And the Lord Jesus Christ was motivated by his perfect personal love for God the Father to carry out the Father's incarnation plan for him. Point 9. Therefore, he was motivated to go to the cross and bear our sins and the sins of the whole world. Impersonal love for all. Therefore, he was motivated to go to the cross and bear our sins, but not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Impersonal love for all. 10. The Lord Jesus Christ had perfect impersonal love for all those who maltreated and maligned him during the 7 trials and the resultant crucifixion. The Lord Jesus Christ had perfect impersonal love for all those who maltreated and maligned him during the 7 trials and the resultant crucifixion. His functional virtue of impersonal love was expressed in his picking up his cross. You see, picking up the cross is a picture of impersonal love for all. Now, this is very important. Why? Because we have been commanded to pick up our cross. And what is that really teaching us? We are commanded to manifest impersonal love for all. So his functional virtue of impersonal love was expressed in picking up his cross, which is the picture of impersonal love for all. 12. So are we, royal family of God, commanded to pick up our cross and carry it, meaning we are to manifest impersonal love for all. And this is going to be illustrated in the last half of verse 16 and in verse 17 and in verse 18. So, corrected translation again so far says, by this we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for us as a substitute for the entire human race. All right. By way of application, one, the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation work on the cross is the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all. The Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation work on the cross is the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all. Two, He was motivated by His personal love for the Father, God the Father. He was motivated by His personal love for the Father to manifest impersonal love for all mankind by going to the cross and being judged for the sins of the whole world. He was motivated by His personal love for God the Father to manifest impersonal love for all mankind by going to the cross and being judged for the sins of the whole world. Three, human personal love is optional. There's nowhere in the Word of God where you're commanded to get married. You can stay single. You don't have to get married. You're not commanded to get married. Nowhere in the Bible you're commanded to have a personal love relationship. That's an option for you. Human personal love is optional, and it's only directed to a few. Four. However, for the believer in Jesus Christ, impersonal love for all mankind is a command. It's a mandate. It's imperative. It's not optional. It's imperative. However, for the believer in Jesus Christ, impersonal love for all mankind is a command. It's a mandate. It is imperative. Turn over to, we're in 1 John, go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. John chapter 15, verse 12. My command is this. This is a command from the Lord Jesus Christ. My command is this. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another with impersonal love for all as I have loved you with impersonal love for all. And then look down at verse 17. He repeats it. This is my command, not an option. This is my command. Love one another. Love one another with impersonal love. Impersonal love for all. Now go to 1 John 3. We haven't gotten there yet, but we're getting there. 1 John 3:23. First John 3:23, two commands given here, one to the entire human race and one to all those who believe in Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:23, and this is His command. This is command from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So the command here is from here the Father. And that is to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a mandate for the entire human race. And then, the next command is for all those who believe in Christ. And to love one another with impersonal love as He commanded us. As He commanded us in John 15:12, as He commanded us in John 15:17. Love one another with impersonal love. 5. Human personal love is weak and vulnerable. And vulnerable to be destroyed through arrogance. Any arrogance in either the subject or arrogance in the object. Arrogance and living your life in Satan's cosmic system is the greatest deterrent to human personal love. Consequently, human personal love has no built-in virtue and must depend on virtue from a source outside the person. 6. Personal love for God is our motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all, our functional virtue. Personal love for God is our motivational virtue that motivates us to have impersonal love for all, which is our functional virtue. Seven, so the pattern becomes obvious. Just as God has impersonal love for all mankind, so also the royal family of God acquires impersonal love for all mankind by living the spiritual life God has given to us, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So the pattern becomes obvious. Just as God has impersonal love for all mankind, so also the royal family of God, church age saints, acquire impersonal love for all mankind by living this unique spiritual life that God has given us, living that unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Eight. God's virtue love becomes the pattern for impersonal love. God's virtue love, especially including personal love, for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Christ, becomes the pattern for impersonal love. 9. Impersonal love is manufactured for us as we live this unique spiritual life God has given us by the spiritual skills. Impersonal love is manufactured for us, manufactured in our soul, in our heart, as we live the spiritual life that God has given to us by the spiritual skills. What are those spiritual skills? Spiritual skill number one, we are commanded to keep on being filled with the Spirit, keep on being empowered. The only way you can live this unique spiritual life, it's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is the God, the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Spiritual skill number one is the filling of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Agape is virtue love. Joy plus H. Peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. So impersonal love is manufactured for us as we, in our hearts, as we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. When you're filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, walking or living the spiritual life by the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is produced in you and through you. And the fruit of the Spirit is virtue, love, happiness, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. That's spiritual skill number one. Spiritual skill number two is consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have, by means of obedience to the truth, obedience to the truth is consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. You find a sound Bible teaching church from your own free will. You assemble in humility and positive volition. You learn the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. It enters your heart. That's obedience to the truth, as you metabolize the absolute truth of God's Word. Since you have, by means of obedience to the truth, purified your souls for an unhypocritical love. Virtue love had been brought to completion in your heart, and now you have impersonal love for the royal family of God, all fellow believers. Therefore, fervently love one another from the heart with impersonal love for all. So impersonal love is manufactured for us as we live the spiritual life God has given to us in the church age by the spiritual skill. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. Keep on being filled with the Spirit, walk by means of the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and then the fruit of the Spirit is produced in your life, which is first word, agape, virtue, love. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, 1 Peter 1:22, through obedience to the truth, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, you have purified your soul. Virtue love been brought to completion in your heart. And now you have impersonal love for fellow believers, and therefore fervently love one another from the heart. 10. However, if you are in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, then you have no virtue. You have no impersonal love for all. Rather, you wind up hating your fellow believer, getting involved in mental murder, and that was 1 John 3:15. However, if you are in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, then you have no virtue and you have no impersonal love for all. And therefore, you wind up hating some of your fellow believers, and that's mental murder, 1 John 3:15. So again, the corrected translation of verse 16, as far as we have gone. By this, we have come to know virtue love, specifically, in our context, impersonal love for all, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us as a substitute for the entire human race, when the entire human race was ungodly and sinners and the enemies of God in spiritual death and total depravity when we were at our worst. One, there is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. If you're not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then you are living in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. Two, therefore, when the believer is living in Satan's cosmic system, it is impossible for him to solve any personal relationship problems. Why? Because he has no virtue love. Therefore, when the believer is living in Satan's cosmic system, it is impossible for him to solve any personal relationship problems. Why? Because he has no virtue love. He may have personal love, but for personal love to be stable and successful, it is totally virtue dependent. It must be inside that integrity envelope of impersonal love. So he may have personal love, but for personal love to be stable and successful, it is totally virtue dependent. It must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have impersonal love for all. Why? Because they are absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite integrity, infinite virtue. And that is the basis for their impersonal love for all. The believer must first of all have virtue love brought to completion in his heart, 1 John 2:5, by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Then you develop God's problem-solving devices. You develop personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ to solve all personal love problems and people problems. The instability of human personal love is the source of many problems, most of which are self-induced problems of conflict and antagonisms, arrogance or jealousy, guilt, self-pity or hypersensitivity, marital problems, interaction problems, problems with people, problems with yourself. Human personal love in romance oftentimes produces jealousy, bitterness, hatred, self-pity, guilt, revenge. Falling in love with a member of the opposite sex is often a matter of overactive hormones. There's a word for it, libido. Some, you can pronounce it libido or libido. I'm going to stick with libido. Being attracted to someone or being motivated by your hormones, libido, is devoid of virtue. Libido is all too often, unfortunately, devoid of conscience, and is therefore minus virtue, minus integrity, without a sense of responsibility, selfish, and very self-serving. And for this reason, personal love in romance or marriage often has no stability and no perpetuation. Three, human personal love minus the virtue of impersonal love to provide the capacity often reaches its peak at the altar or shortly thereafter, making a mockery of marriage. Human personal love minus the virtue of impersonal love to provide the capacity often reaches its peak at the altar or shortly thereafter, making a mockery of marriage. Four, human personal love complicates life by combining the problems of two people, which intensifies their stress in life. Five, the weakness of human personal love for another is based on the existence of too many factors for its success. The weakness of human personal love for another is based on the existence of too many factors for its success. What are those many factors? One, continued attractiveness of the object. Two, there must be continued rapport. Hence, for many, familiarity breeds contempt. Six, lack of reciprocation in human personal love intensifies frustration, causes disillusion, results in reaction. Lack of reciprocation in human personal love intensifies frustration, causes disillusion, results in reaction, which brings on the tragic flaw syndrome. Seven, the pressures of human antagonism, hostility, animosity demand a problem-solving device. The pressures of human antagonism, hostility, animosity demand a problem-solving device. The problems of human personal love, romance, friendship demand a problem-solving device. Point eight, the problem-solving device is the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. The problem-solving device is the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Nine, wrong priorities and wrong emphasis in life result in the believer becoming a loser. Wrong priorities and wrong emphasis in life result in the believer becoming a loser. Ten, the loser believer manufactures his own problems. The loser believer manufactures his own problems, but he has no problem-solving devices to cope with them. No virtue love. The loser believer manufactures his own problems, but he has no problem-solving devices to cope with life. He has no virtue love, no personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love. He has no impersonal love for all. He has no occupation with Jesus Christ. He does not have self-contained happiness. He's miserable. 11. Inevitably, the believer with no problem-solving devices, with no virtue love, becomes a casualty in life. Inevitably, the believer with no problem-solving devices, no virtue love, becomes a casualty in life. He gets all his kicks from sublimation. He avoids reality and all too often becomes psychotic or neurotic. 12. You will never get away from the fact that you have no permanent, stable solution to people problems until you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You will never get away from the fact that you have no permanent, stable solution to people problems until you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Again, as far halfway through verse 16, by this, the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all, by this we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us. Who is us? The world. Ungodly, sinners, enemies of God. The world in spiritual death and total depravity. The world at its absolute worst. And the Lord Jesus Christ had impersonal love for the world when the world was at its absolute total worst. Spiritually dead, totally depraved, enemies of God. So here's the greatest illustration of impersonal love. And Jesus Christ manifested this in His hypostatic union, in His true humanity. He lived the unique spiritual life. He had virtue love brought to completion in His heart. He had the greatest personal love for God the Father. And that motivated Him to carry out the incarnation plan that the Father had for Him. And what was that incarnation plan? Operation Grace, the cross. What motivated Him to carry out that plan to go to the cross? His love for God the Father. And that personal love for God the Father motivated impersonal love for all. The world at its worst. He is our role model and great illustration. Now He's given that spiritual life to us. And the ultimate objective is to have this virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. To have personal love for God the Father, which will motivate us to have impersonal love for all. And that will solve all marriage problems, all people problems, all friendship problems. It will solve all of it. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. By this we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. That He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us, totally depraved, spiritually dead humanity, as a substitute for the entire human race. One. Impersonal love is the unconditional guarantee of believers that they are able to maintain an honorable, virtuous relationship with both friends and enemies. Impersonal love is the unconditional guarantee of believers that they are able to maintain an honorable, virtuous relationship with both friends and enemies. Two, impersonal love means you have virtue, agape, a problem-solving device, and are able to handle people honestly, justly, fairly. Impersonal love means you have virtue. Virtue in your heart. Agape. Virtue love. A problem-solving device. And are able to handle people honestly, justly, and fairly. Three, therefore you have the ability to have a very happy love relationship. Therefore you have the ability to have a very happy love relationship because even though you are both imperfect, impersonal love gives you the ability to handle the inevitable problems. Therefore, you have the ability to have a very happy love relationship because even though you are both imperfect, you both have old sin natures, impersonal love gives you the ability to handle the inevitable problems. Four, impersonal love brings virtue to all the problems of love and hate, enmity and friendship, attraction and animosity. Impersonal love brings virtue to all the problems of love and hate, enmity and friendship, attraction and animosity. Five, impersonal love perpetuates its own honor, virtue, integrity. Impersonal love perpetuates its own honor, virtue, integrity, without retaliation, without reaction, without prejudice, without discrimination, without revenge. Impersonal love perpetuates its own honor, virtue, and integrity without retaliation, reaction, prejudice, discrimination, or revenge. Six, impersonal love cannot be corrupted or deceived by flattery or human approbation, or emotional rapport, or the exploitation of arrogance and personal ambition. Impersonal love cannot be corrupted or deceived by flattery, human approbation, emotional rapport, or the exploitation of arrogance and personal ambition. Seven, impersonal love is free from arrogance. It's free from arrogance, free from jealousy, free from bitterness, free from fear or hatred or self-pity or guilt reaction or revenge. Impersonal love is free from arrogance, jealousy, bitterness, fear, hatred, self-pity, guilt reaction, or revenge. 8. Impersonal love cannot be destroyed by hate. So there are people in your relationships that say they hate you. Impersonal love cannot be destroyed by hate or persecution or unjust treatment or any category of antagonism. That's what is so great about impersonal love for all. It's easy for you to have impersonal love for those you like. You know, the ones you have over for dinner. I notice none of you have had me over for dinner for quite a while. I might be in the other category. Oh, by the way, that's fine. I'm not asking to be invited over for dinner. Especially if you serve carob instead of chocolate. And the best is dark chocolate. Very good for you. Dark chocolate. There was a fella, he was one of the, well, at seminary they call all of us that listen to Colonel Thiem. We were affectionately known as Thiemies Weenies. Not too affectionately, but that's what they called us. And he graduated from Dallas and then took a church up in Washington. But while he was at the seminary, he and his wife invited me over for dinner. They were really into health food. Really into health food. And she came out with this stuff. She says, "This is really good for you." I said, "What is it?" "It's carob. That chocolate is really bad for you. This is really good for you." You know. So I ate carob. It was horrible. But I manifested impersonal love for all. And choked down a couple pieces of carob and down the hatch it went. Impersonal love cannot be destroyed by hate, persecution, unjust treatment, or any category of antagonism. Here's the greatest illustration for all of us of what impersonal love is. By this we have come to know impersonal love for all, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us in spiritual death, totally depraved, when we were totally at our worst. That's our role model. He learned that in His true humanity by living the spiritual life, advancing to spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in His heart. He had the greatest personal love for the Father, which motivated Him to carry out the incarnation plan, which was for Him to go to a cross, receive the sins of the entire world, and the judgment for those. There is our role model. There's the great illustration. And now, from the rest of verse 16, and then verse 17, and then verse 18, John now makes the application to us. And he starts out with the rest of verse 60, and we ought to lay down our lives for our fellow believers. Well, we'll take a look at that. That's just the first part of verse 16. In fact, I'll go ahead and give you previews of the coming attraction of the application here to us. And therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, our fellow believers. That is the supreme sacrifice. But if anyone has the world material possessions, food, clothing, money, wealth, prosperity, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need of something, he's destitute, and he has shut up, locked up his heart against him, that is, he has no compassion on him, then it is impossible that this virtue love from God abides in him. Verse 18, my dear children, let us not love, impersonal love, for those in need, is not to be with word, just talk, nor with tongue, organ of speech, but by means of grace, righteous production, the royal family honor code, and by means of absolute truth, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. So John gets right down where the rubber meets the road. In the next rest of verse 16, 17, and 18. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.